The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Good morning. I'm going to try not to cough. How many of y'all have had this thing? Yes. I think it's something in the air. I'm Susan Ainsworth, and I'm so glad to be here. Thank you to this church. I'm actually the bookkeeper at the center. Ask my coworkers. I'm a big tightwad. If I think we can save 2 cents, I'm going to. But that's good. These are offerings, and I've got enough to answer for. I want to do a good job with that. So, but in looking back, as near as I can tell, this church has been supporting the center since 2003. You should give yourselves a hand. That's amazing. Your pastor mentioned, I actually have 2 jobs there. I do I'm the bookkeeper, but then I also head up the abortion recovery part of the program because we see lots and lots of women and men that have already been there and they're struggling, and God offers forgiveness, and so we've got a program for those. But this morning, I want to start by just telling you a little bit about what's been going on at the center. As you know, as we were talking earlier, it is this is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and the reason that we recognize life on this day in this month is because it's the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which was the Supreme Court decision that basically, I don't think a lot of people know this, but it really pretty much made abortion legal at any time for any reason. Since that time, 43 years ago, approximately 57 million lives have been lost to abortion. That's a huge, huge number. And I kind of look at it maybe from a different perspective than most. I see not only 57 million babies, but 57 million women and 57 million men whose lives have been changed. It works out to about 1.2 million a year just in this nation, which is about 3,000 a day. Planned Parenthood, who I'm sure you've heard lots and lots about in the news in the last year, they say that at the current rate, about 1 in 3 women will have one by the time she's 45. And in our area, about 83% of the women going to the abortion clinics profess to be Christian. So I know that when I'm in church, that I'm looking at people that are hurting. The good news is what you do, the support that you give the center, makes a difference. How many of y'all are pretty familiar with what all we do? Kind of. The thing that brings people in the door is a free pregnancy test. We're the only people, as far as I know, we're the only people in town that do a free pregnancy test, and absolutely the only people do a free ultrasound. So that brings lots and lots of people through the door. So in 2015, we had 1,586 women that came for a test. It's a lot. We did 516 ultrasounds. It's a limited ultrasound, but it absolutely will give them an idea how far along they are, and just kind of let them see the heartbeat, which is important. Is there a heartbeat? And sometimes there's not. So that's important, too. I always tell a girl that I'm talking to, or a woman that's considering abortion, have that ultrasound and find out what's going on. Sometimes there's not a heartbeat. Not often, but it does happen. because of those tests and those ultrasounds and the counseling that those women received, 85 babies that we know of were children of changed minds. So we had 85 women that we know of that changed their minds this past year. So y'all think about that number for just a minute. I know compared to 3,000, it doesn't seem like a lot, but that's 85. That's, you know, 2-3 kindergarten classes. That's exciting. So y'all did that too. We have a lot of our clients are very mobile, and they, you know, they move a lot. They change their numbers a lot. So there are lots that we don't know about. It's really neat that every now and then I'll run into someone. Just a couple of years ago, I was in Walmart, and a girl stopped me, and she said, "Hey, do you remember me?" And I knew the face. I couldn't remember the name. I said, "Yes, I know your face." And she said, "This is my baby." And this was someone we didn't know. Sometimes they leave, we don't know what they're going to choose. And she had this little child that was probably a year and a half old. So it's exciting. It is making a difference. We not only have the pregnancy center where we're offering those services, but we have the learning center, which is a separate facility. And that is where women that are planning on parenting can go and get baby items that they need. They go to classes. We've got classes on nutrition and pregnancy and labor and delivery and newborn care. They do other things for points. They get points for going to the doctor. They get points for going to church because we think that's important. But they can take these points that they earn, and then they can actually shop at the center. And so when you donate diapers, or when you donate wipes or formula or baby blankets, those are things that these moms can actually purchase for their babies. And I've had clients that had nothing and absolutely got everything they needed. I mean, we've got beds and car seats and maternity clothes, and so it's an incredible facility. We had 233 women and dads, moms and dads. The dads have classes as well. But 233 that participated in the programs at the Learning Center this last year. Because, you know, it's not enough. I always think about the scripture about, you know, be warm and, you know, here's the person that's hungry and cold. And we say, well, you know, I'll pray for you, be warm and fed. You have to actually help. And so if you're saying you can do this, you can parent, but I think we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus and actually help them do those things. We also have one part of the ministry that deals just with young people. I'm going to pick on y'all a little bit this morning. Is that okay? I'm so glad to see all these young faces. We have a girl named Alicia that goes in, and she actually goes into schools that will allow it and speaks to youth groups and talks to them about not just abstinence, but just about making good choices, just about healthy choices and having your self-image line up with what God says about you. I see that. I think most of the counselors at the center see that more than anything, that the women that are coming to us, 90% of the time, they just don't have a clue how valuable they are to God just because he made them. So in 2015, about 2,700, almost 2,800 students actually heard a message from Alicia. So that's exciting. Since 1994, which was when the center started, about 1,302 babies that we know of have been saved. What's really exciting to me is that because we're a ministry that we don't take any kind of government funding, we can speak about Jesus all we want. I've been there since 2001. In all those years, I think I've had three women that said, no, I don't want to talk about that. Most of the time, people that are desperate, they want to hear some good news. They want to hear hope, and they want to hear about Jesus. Since 1994, 456 women have made a profession of faith at the center. So that's pretty exciting. We can share the gospel with every person that comes in the door. Since 1994, 274 women and 14 men have completed that abortion recovery Bible study. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. And they've found healing and been able to move on and be different, just to accept God's forgiveness. I would encourage you, there are lots and lots of ways that, you're already involved and you can be more involved. Your pastor did mention, I put some newsletters back there on the table, and this is just the most recent. If you don't get our newsletter and you would like it, you can let me know, or you can actually go to the website, givethemoptions.com, and you can just fill out a little request on there, and we'll put you on the list. There is also this brochure that says Unexpected Hope. This tells you a little bit more about the services we offer and ways you can be involved. Come to the Life March next Saturday. It's at 10 o'clock. They're actually going to start on the Bossier side, I believe, at the boardwalk and walk that mile. I'm not walking that mile. I'm going to actually be over at Festival Plaza because that's where it's going to end. They'll come across the Texas Street Bridge, and then at Festival Plaza we'll have speakers, but we're also going to have tables set up and different ministries, Life Ministries, will be out there. Y'all come and support that. Just come, and if you want to just come to Festival Plaza, come. If you come, pray for the ones that are going to be there that are protesting. We had some last year, and we'll have some this year. Pray for them. They think they're doing a good thing. Okay. All right, now I'm not going to cough. All right, I want to share with you just a little bit. Can I grab my water? All right. I told you that I came to the center in 2001, but I want to tell you how I came to be there. When I talk about those women sitting on church pews and you know, the one in three, I know that because I've been there. I was part of that 83%. And the reason I wanted to share my story, and the reason I do that, I found the scripture in Revelation 12, and I'm sure you guys know it. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. God heals us, God forgives us, but I think he intends us to use he wants others to hear what he's done for us. So let me tell you, I'm going to pick on young people, okay? I won't, call you out, okay? I grew up in a Baptist church, a very small little Baptist church, when I was 6 years old, and I remember this so clearly. 6 years old, during the invitation time, I just knew that Jesus was offering me something that nobody else could give me. And I went down and asked him to be my Savior, and I was baptized shortly after, and I was so excited. And I know that I know that I was his, even at that young age. But what I didn't get, and I'm not sure where the disconnect was, I relied on those few hours that I was in church during the week for my relationship. And that's not a relationship with the Lord. That's not enough. I rarely ever missed a service. Rarely. I knew all the right church words. I knew all the answers in Sunday school. But I wasn't spending time with him, really, outside of that building. I wasn't in the Word outside of that building, and it's not enough. And I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just telling you that's how I ended up where I was in college. When I went off to college, I thought, well, I can do what I want. And because I really didn't have, I didn't have a lot. I wasn't real grounded. And God's all about free will, and he'll let us do pretty much whatever we want. But there are consequences. I'm thankful he doesn't let us go too far. And I don't know how many of y'all have ever had him just yank you back to where you're supposed to be. It's very painful. But I'm very thankful that he doesn't let us just keep going. But I went off to college and just kind of did what I wanted to do and met this guy. And he was a great guy. And we got involved in a physical relationship that should not have happened. You know, my parents didn't talk about abstinence a lot. It was just kind of unsaid. It just implied. But I thought, you know, they're old-fashioned. You know, they don't know. He doesn't understand, you know. And so we got involved in this relationship, and I just knew I wouldn't have any consequences because I was a good girl. I was a church girl. And bad things don't happen to church girls. And so when I came home the end of my freshman year and I was pregnant, I was a little surprised. I was not only surprised, I was just horrified and scared to death that people were going to know that I wasn't a good girl. I didn't want to tell my parents. I didn't want to disappoint them. I sure didn't want my church to know. And I listened to a lot of lies, and there are a lot of lies out there. And when I say that those people that protest and the people that work in the clinics are deceived, they're deceived. The world tells you that abortion's an easy fix. And in reality, I guess it was, because as soon as I did that, I wasn't pregnant. But it's not an easy fix. I believed that it was just a blob. That's what I was told. It wasn't, you know, it was just a little clump of cells, no big deal. Now, let me just say this. I knew that it was not right. I knew it was wrong. If I thought it was okay, I wouldn't have hidden it. Isn't that right? I mean, don't we hide stuff that we think is not okay? We feel okay about it. We don't mind telling people. But I hid it. I hid it from my parents. I didn't tell anyone but the father and my best friend. And snuck off to that clinic in Shreveport on a Saturday morning. They've been open a long time because I am not 18. Okay, far from it now. But I snuck off to that clinic. And the thing that really stands out that I remember so much is it was a Saturday morning in the summertime. It was bright, bright, bright outside. You know, those real sunny mornings. And it was really dark inside that building. For one thing, they've got their windows all boarded up. But it was really dark in there and cold. And when I came out of that building, I just remember the contrast. And the sun was so bright, and I felt like the inside of that building. Now, immediately after, I was relieved because, hey, problem solved, and I get on with my life, no big deal. That is not the truth. Not at all. That darkness that came over me, that darkness stayed with me for years, and it changed me. The thing that I believed at the time was going to fix things altered the course of my life. It changed things forever. I spent about the next 7 years just self-medicating. Alcohol, substances, people. I didn't care. I wanted to not feel what I was feeling. And what I felt was this loss. Because no matter how it happens, you've lost a child. But with abortion, there's this weird thinking that comes along where you don't feel like you have the right to grieve. I chose that, right? I mean, who am I to feel bad? And yet the grief is real. So you don't allow yourself to experience that. It was not good, not good. And, you know, you make one bad choice and it leads to another. And by the way, the guy and I broke up right away and we had a death between us and didn't even know what to do with that. So that was over, done. During those 7 years, I just made one bad choice after another until I finally got to a place where I was living in Dallas at the time, sitting on my kitchen floor one morning trying to And it's really weird to think about now, but trying to figure out how to end my life. I just didn't want hurt. But I was a big chicken, so I didn't know how to do it. You know, I didn't really want to hurt myself, but it was just crazy. And instead of harming myself anymore, I prayed for the first time since I was so young. And y'all, God is so good. I mean, he came like immediately. He literally, some people called me just, you know, within a half hour after that prayer and said, hey, we're coming through town. We're coming to get you. We're going to go to Shreveport, taking you home. And I mean, God sent them. So I moved back here. I got involved in church again, got involved in the Word. That's what changed. Really just started pursuing that relationship with God. Things were so much better. Met this guy. He's great. He's a gift. He loves it when I pick on him. We got married. We started a family. I thought, you know, life is good. I never have to think about abortion again. Never. It's done. And I knew that in my head God had forgiven me, but I had never really accepted that. But I thought, you know, again, I thought if I just don't, kind of like with the abortion, I'm going to backtrack a minute. Somebody asked me recently, a client said, did you pray about it before? No. No, of course not, because I knew his answer. No. I kind of thought if I didn't mention it, he wouldn't notice it either, which is not true. I mean, that's dumb, isn't it? And so here I am again thinking, well, if I just don't, we'll not talk about that anymore, then it's going to be fine. It'll go away. When I was pregnant with our first son, saw him on an ultrasound at 10 weeks, broke my heart. I remember just boo-hooing when I saw that picture. And the little ultrasound lady thought, she's so excited. And I just was so heartbroken because what I was looking at was not a blob. That was not a blob at all. I could see him. And so I didn't know what to do at that point. I mean, I just really, it was like God really convicted me of what abortion was. And so then I spent many, many years in church, dragging that down to the altar, asking him to forgive me, drag it back to my seat. I can remember sitting in church, and I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. I don't make any kind of assumptions, but I can remember dreading this time of year. The Sanctity of Human Life Sunday was just like salt in a wound. I didn't want to hear about life from the pulpit. You know, I felt like I had done the thing that God couldn't pardon. And I can remember spending lots and lots of years being in services and feeling like I could be there, but I could never really be in the inner, you know, like I would look at, you know, the pastor's wife and think, wow, I can never have that kind of relationship with God. Now, what a lie is that? But I felt separated from him. And so I was in my church one evening, and some people from the center came and talked about what they did. And immediately I said, oh, they need me. I need to go help them. And one of my friends still laughs at that statement, but that's exactly what I said. They need me. And I found out when I got there to volunteer that I actually needed them. So when I thank you guys for supporting the Pregnancy Center, you helped provide the Bible study that helped me find healing. Okay? So thank you. I mean, if the center was only established for me, I'm grateful. I found out in doing the volunteer paperwork that if you've been there, and men, that applies to them as well, if you've had a hand in abortion, you have to do this Bible study first, because you got to have healing before you can help anybody else. And walking through that, it's an amazing Bible study. It's written for, specifically for people that have been involved in abortion, and it deals with all of the emotions that come along with that, just grief and shame and guilt and anger and unforgiveness. And through that, I was able to accept what God had for me. And I promise you, if it were not true, I couldn't stand up here and tell the story. God's good. And it doesn't matter where you've been, and it may not even be abortion. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, it's not too big for him. He can take what you just know is the worst thing, the worst decision you ever made, and he can turn it into something for good. I'm excited now that I can sit in that counseling room lots of days across from me. You know, I'm talking to a girl, and I see them all the time. I'm in college, and I'm in church, and my parents don't know. And just to be able to share the truth, you know, that this is what society says it looks like, and this is what reality is. It's painful. I want to share with you just real quickly about a client story. I had a girl, it was about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years now, that came who was not a teenager. She was in her 20s. She was single. She was involved with this guy. They were talking about getting married, but not really that close to, you know, he hadn't proposed and they hadn't set any kind of date. Found herself pregnant through, you know, bad choices. You know, there's a reason why God said wait. I just didn't get that when he said he doesn't want us to be in that situation. But she found herself in this situation. She's pregnant, and she worked for an organization where she was dealing with youth girls. And the absolute truth is, if they knew she was pregnant, she was going to lose her job. I mean, that's just, and I can see both, you know, I kind of understand where they're coming from. But she was really seriously considering abortion because of that, because she was going to lose her job. Came to the center, did a pregnancy test, had an ultrasound, saw that little heartbeat, still not, you know, not really sure. We were able to follow up with her and kind of stay in contact. She came back a few weeks later, brought her boyfriend. He came, we did another ultrasound. He saw that little baby and said, nah, we're doing this. And she actually, if you were at our banquet last year, then you got to see her on a video with their baby. She did lose her job. And she found another one, and they got married, and they have a beautiful little baby girl, and so they can't imagine they ever considered doing anything else. But at the time, it was really scary for her. So when you support the center, you allow us the opportunity to just be a place that offers hope. 90% of what we do in those counseling rooms is just listen. Just listen. People just need someone that doesn't have an opinion about their situation to listen. We don't tell them what to do, but we're going to tell them the truth, and we're going to tell them that in love. And then if they still, I mean, if they choose abortion, we're still going to love them, and we're going to offer them this Bible study. And I left a bunch of these back there on the table as well. I really wish that everyone would pick one up. Whether you've been there or not, doesn't matter. I bet you know somebody that has, and if you don't, I bet you'll meet somebody. Just to know that it's out there. I didn't know anything like this existed. So take some brochures. I just am so thankful. Oh, I left you out. I said I wasn't going to do it. He always fusses at me. My husband actually leads a men's group, the abortion recovery group. Though he wasn't involved in abortion ever, just really felt like God was calling him to do that. And a couple of years ago, just God kind of lit a fire under him, and he said, hey, I want to see that men's Bible study. And it's so great to have somebody that lives with me that I can say, would you call this man? Because men need to counsel men. Y'all think different, talk different. So anyway, know that those resources are out there. It's all confidential. If you want to volunteer, come and see us. If you want to take a tour, we'd be glad to show you around. Y'all come to the Life March Saturday. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Our God is a God of life. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're not just talking about the sin of abortion. We're talking about any sin separates us away from God, creates death. Our God's a holy God, a righteous God, a God of life. And he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world so that we could have life. And we could have it more abundantly. And in order to experience that, we have to understand and know him as a God of forgiveness and a God of grace. And all of us have fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all gotten away from God. And every one of us need God. And we need the life that he has to offer. That's what the gospel message is about. So we're going to offer that invitation this morning and give you an opportunity to say, I need God. I need him in my life. I need the life he has to offer. I need the forgiveness. And though our emphasis today has been about the sanctity of human life, the decisions that we might make this afternoon is not just related to that. It's about anything that would separate us from God and our relationship with God. And so we would ask you simply to be open to the leadership of the Spirit. Make any decision that God brings you to make at this moment. We'll stand together and Max will come lead us in the time of...
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you.